Whether it's fair or not, most families have a favorite son or daughter. In the eyes of siblings, the favorite gets all the breaks. Cain thought Abel got all the breaks. When God approved of Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's, deep seeds of jealousy were sown, later reaped in a harvest of vengeance and murder. Today, more on the tragic life of Cain, who typifies many who feel rejected. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Our focus is the challenge of raising Cain, which is tough when jealousy is present.
Most of the feuds that happen in families are feuds because one child is the favorite. Now, we don't know whether or not Abel was the favorite to Adam and Eve. We do know that God favored Abel and his offering, and God rejected Cain. So now you have the roots of jealousy, envy, and anger. And let me tell you something about jealousy. It is a sin we can see with clarity in the lives of others. It's almost impossible for us to see it in our own lives. And so Cain is very, very angry. Abel does nothing wrong, but Cain is angry. Well, what we'd like to do in the next few moments is to give you the characteristics of someone who can hurt somebody else and feel no remorse, without conscience. We could even speak about sociopaths, but that's another story. Notice that Cain has these characteristics. First of all, he refuses counsel. Notice in verse 6, it says, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" You want acceptance? It's available to you, Cain. Notice it says, God says to him, "Why is your face fallen?" You know, there are some people who cannot hide their emotions. I used to work with a man like that. When he was angry, no matter how well he tried to keep it, you looked at his face and you knew that the rest of the day was walking on eggshells. You just knew it. Didn't have to say a word. And so here's Cain, and you don't have to say much when you're very, very angry. And so God says, sin is personified like an animal. It says, sin is crouching at the door. And that expression, crouching at the door, is related to an Akkadian word, which means demon. And that's why a Jewish translation has it, sin is the demon at the door. Now, Cain, you had better master it, because if not, it'll pounce on you and it will destroy you, Cain. So God gives Cain some good advice. We have people who call the church because they want counsel. And sometimes they say, we want to counsel with Pastor Lutzer. I always try to say, no, I think you really mean Pastor Milko. Or I think I used to be able to say, I think you mean Pastor Worley, because they're better counselors than I am. I think I have good insight into human nature. I can talk to people, but I'm not really, really a counselor. When I was a young pastor in another church, met with a couple that was going through some problems every Saturday morning for 4 or 5 Saturdays. When I was finished, they got a divorce. I don't know if this is repeat or not, but I have to tell you another story that's more recent. 3 weeks ago, a woman whom I do not know well, but she attended here once, called me, told me about her husband who was leaving her and a little baby for a defiled bed, I should say. And because this husband had some acquaintance with me, I called him and for 20 minutes to a half an hour, gave him all the reasons why he should not do what he's doing. I called her this past week to see what happened. She said, "He admitted that you called him, but he also called me just a few days ago and told me to expect some divorce papers on my step." That's what happens when you get counseled by me. But I don't feel too badly, because imagine somebody being able to sign up not for Pastor Lutzer, not for Pastor Milko, but they can sign up because they have a counseling session with God. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Cain has it. God's talking to Cain. Cain, if you do well, you can be accepted too. If not, sin is going to destroy you. It's a demon at the door. And as soon as God was finished giving him this advice, he goes out, he meets Abel, and in his anger kills him. So much for counseling. First characteristic of a person who has the Cain nature is that they refuse counsel. You can argue with them, you can give them reasons, and when you're all done, they will do what they want to do, and they won't listen to you or to God. Well, there's a second characteristic. You'll notice that the Lord continues to talk, and it says, verse 9, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know.' He said, 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" Some of you will remember that it was the monkey who sat at the zoo. "Am I my keeper's brother?" But in this instance, it is, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I know I have to go more slowly. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done?" But notice this, when the Lord says to him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Cain lies. He says, "I do not know." Characteristic of a person who can destroy others and not feel bad about it, but deeply affected by his own hurts. He will lie. He will twist. He will distort. He's like a blotter. He'll soak it all up, but then he'll give it to you backwards. That's the way he is. Well, the Lord says to him, Cain says, actually, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You know what the answer to that question is? Yes, I'm sorry, you are. We are the keeper of those who are members of our family. We do have responsibility. And then notice what the Lord says to him. He says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Wow, that should take our breath away. A Hebrew scholar by the name of Westerman says this is one of the most monumental statements in the whole Bible. It needs no explanation. It retains its validity throughout all centuries. And the most important phrase is but one word in Hebrew, Ali. The voice of your brother's blood cries, Ali, to me. God says, "Cain, there's no way that you can hide what you've done. You can't get out of it because I am the one to whom the blood is responding." In fact, the author goes on to say, "The blood of the victim cries out, and there is someone to whom it cries." Cain cannot hide his sin. And may I say today that the blood of innocent people cries up, Eli, to God, even in our abortion clinics. Now, those of you who have had abortions, you know, of course, that there is forgiveness and cleansing of the conscience and of the heart. It's not my intention to lay a guilt trip on you, but when nationally we are involved in the killing of tens of thousands of preborn infants, their blood cries up, Eli, to God. There is someone to whom their blood cries. And then the Lord goes on and he says, Cain, from now on, you'll notice that the ground has been cursed and now you are going to be cursed. When you work the ground, verse 12, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And so what the Lord says is you are going to be judged for what you do. The soil was cursed. Now Cain is cursed. Second characteristic, he avoids responsibility. Where's your brother? I don't know. Am I his keeper? Third characteristic is he's self-absorbed. You'll notice what Cain says now, and let's all take out our handkerchiefs and weep for him. He said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Paranoia, they're out to get me. I'm always the one that gets the bad end of the deal. Then the Lord protects him and gives him a mark. We have no idea what that mark is, but God is saying, I don't want these blood feuds to go along. But now let's just think for a moment of what he's saying. Not one iota of remorse. Not saying, I'm really sorry that I killed my brother, or I regret the evil that I have done. Nothing like that. Instead, a persecution complex, and saying, you know, things are so bad that if somebody sees me, they're going to kill me. Well, let's think about that for a moment. If somebody killed them, there'd be a good reason to. Later on, God says that if you shed blood, you are going to be the one whose blood is going to be shed. I mean, you know, they'd have a good reason to kill somebody. A good reason to kill him. But he feels sorry for himself, because remember this, that these kinds of people always play by a different set of rules. And they find within themselves this feeling of sorry for them. But there's no sorrow for the blood of his brother, which lies spilled on the ground. In fact, killing his brother probably felt good. Remember that man in Minnesota, you know, who was asked to get away from the particular house that had been built, the deer house for hunters. And what did he do? He shot five of the hunters. You're not going to tell me where I can sit and where I can be. If not, I'll blow you away. And you know what? After you're dead, you'll never tell me again where I can or can't be. This is Pastor Lutzer. My friend, today it is possible to do in a moment a terrible thing that can never be rectified in a lifetime. Anger is so terrible. Think of what Cain did. Even if he had repented, there was no possible way that he could somehow raise up his dead brother. Sometimes it is said that child abuse begets child abuse. And that, of course, is true. It doesn't have to be that way, thankfully, because people can overcome their environment. But in the case of Cain, there's no evidence that he was abused. All that happened was he was jealous of his brother. And because he felt that he was not getting everything that he deserved and the recognition that he thought should come to him, he was willing to kill him. Are you and I willing today to repent of all of those attitudes of jealousy and comparison that are so destructive? May God grant us the ability to repent very deeply.
Erwin Lutzer has brought us part two of The Challenge of Raising Cain, the second of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. On Monday, how to prevent seeds of jealousy from growing into explosions of anger. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. When You've Been Wronged is also a book by Pastor Lutzer, and this book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.